Happy Sabbath, everybody. It's cold outside, right? It is. That is the definition of cold out there. It's a little bit. School was canceled yesterday at school because the wind chill was past 30, negative 30 degrees. So they were just like, you shouldn't come to school. And then I heard the weatherman say, if you don't have to leave the house, don't. For like health reasons, just don't leave the house if you can help it. So it was pretty cold yesterday. So thank you so much for coming out and wanting to worship with us today. It's a blessing to be in the presence of those who love God. Would you mind if we pray before we start? If you don't mind, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the ability to be around a community of believers who are just willing to step out in the cold for you. Lord, guide us and keep us as we read your word. Lord, hide me behind your veil and let your words be mine. Help me not to shine through, but you to shine through. And that if people leave here, they don't remember anything else, but they remember that they saw Jesus here. That's what we want to say. In your name. Amen. I've entitled the message today, I Choose You. There is this famous quote from one of my favorite TV shows, and it goes like this. It says, pick me, choose me, love me. There's a show called Grey's Anatomy that's been on for a long time. and the main character, Meredith Grey, is saying to Dr. Derek Shepherd, pick me, choose me, love me, because she's in this middle of this love triangle that she's found herself in. And she's going to this man who, if I'm being honest, she hasn't really told him to choose her. And she is begging him. She says, pick me, choose me, love me. She has this grandiose speech about how she has the kind of love that would let him take the last piece of cheesecake, hold a boombox over their head. But she just wanted him to know to pick me, choose me, love me. And as I was thinking of this message, I Choose You, I thought about like, wow, how often do we want to be chosen by other people in our lives? How often do we want to be chosen as a human thing? How often is wanting to be chosen something that's important for us? And I think about that because as humans, I think that we all have this grand desire to be chosen by somebody or by something. And it's very simple when you think about it. It's like, oh man, we all want to be chosen, whether it's to be chosen on the team for in grade school, you want to be chosen on the right team to play kickball or baseball. You want to make the team on the sports team when you go there. Maybe you want to be chosen as a Valentine's for someone growing up. And so those are kind of the base level things. Like, man, I want to be chosen. And in grade school, there was this story where I desperately wanted to go to this trip. It was a trip to Dolphin Island, Alabama. And in Dolphin Island, the reason why I wanted to go is because you got to swim with the sharks in fifth grade. So they have like the little cages where you go down under. And I was a vegetarian, but my friends were going to eat octopus because that's what you do in Dolphin Island. And it was just a really cool trip. And the way that they decided this trip is that you had to have a certain grade point average. And then they put everyone's name in a bucket. And then they chose out five names from each of the classes. So 10 kids got to go. And I was almost sure that I would get chosen because my mom was a teacher there. And I was like, we can make this work. We can do this. Back when I went to public school. So there were about 125 fifth and sixth graders there. And so I thought for sure I would be the name pulled, but I wasn't. And I was so disappointed. I remember coming home being so disappointed and so unhappy about not getting chosen, and I acted out that night. I don't think I got in trouble because my parents sat me down and they were like, the reason why you're acting out is because you didn't get chosen for something. You felt inadequate about something. And you may think that that's just a childlike behavior, but in the Bible, in the different examples that we have, I feel like there are some stories where when people don't get chosen, they choose to act out. So the first thing that I thought about when I was looking at this, I was like, Saul, after he was not chosen to be king anymore, this man went crazy. He was like, I'm going to kill David in every way, shape, or form because he wasn't chosen to be king anymore. So he let his human desire for not wanting to be chosen control what he wanted to do next. He felt inadequate. And there's a scripture that says in 1 Samuel, let me take you there so you can find it in your Bible later. In 2 Samuel, if I can get there and not be. In 1 Samuel 18, 8 through 10, it's talking about how Saul got very angry. And I'm going to read verse 8 through 10 so you can see where I am. And it says, Saul was very angry. This refrain displeased him greatly. They have credited David with the terms, they have credited David with tens and thousands, he thought, but me with only thousands. What more can I get out of this kingdom? And from that time on, Saul kept a close eye on David. The next day, an evil spirit from God, evil spirit came forcibly on Saul, and he was prophesying in the house while David was playing in the lair, as he usually did, and Saul had a spear in his hand. So this desire to not be chosen to be king anymore drove Saul to kill the king-elect. It was so great. His jealousy became so great because he wasn't chosen that it drove him to do this great evil thing. And it made me think, how often do we let human desires of not being chosen drive us to do wrong things? How often do we let that desire of being unchosen or not selected by someone drive us to do things that are not of God? Because we're so desiring to be chosen and to be accepted by people. What has jealousy drove us to? And so that may seem like an extreme example because of Samuel. But another example that I see in the Bible of a man after God's own heart is David. And David is this great creature who we like are like, man, David is a man after God's own heart. But one of the reasons why I love David is because David made tons and tons of mistakes. And one of the biggest mistakes David made that I would think is that because a girl was chose another guy, he decided to kill the husband of the lady. David and Bathsheba, and it's so crazy that he was driven to that. Even as a Christian, as a man of God, as someone who was connected as the king, this desire to not be chosen overtook him. It overtook who he was as a person. So David did the craziest thing. He found this woman. He was like, oh, I want her, but she's Uriah's husband, so I can't have her. And so he decides to go and still lay with her and sleep with her. There are no kids here. I can say that. He decides to sleep with her. And then what leads to that happening, he realizes that he made his mistake. And the way to solve that issue, the way to still be the number one in this woman's life is, what if I kill the man who is her husband? And I was like, wow, that's what it drove him to. It drove David to murder. It drove David, this idea of being inadequate and being not chosen by a human desire, drove David, this man after God's own heart, to murder. And that's what kind of led me to talk about this, because I feel like a lot of times in our life, we feel like we are not chosen by human desires. And it starts out as small, like we talked about, maybe it's not a basketball team, baseball team, Valentine's Day card. But it gets kind of bigger in life when you get it, where you don't get that next job that you interviewed for, or you've been working at the company for 5 years and you don't get that promotion. You have worked really hard in your marriage, but your spouse decides to not be with you anymore. You've tried really hard with your children and they decide not to come home or be with Christ. You've tried so hard for these human relationships to be chosen by them. And then all of a sudden, sometimes because people are people and we can't control them. They choose somebody else. They choose something else, and it hurts. It hurts, and hurt, it drives us to do things that we don't always want to do. And I think it drives us to forget that we indeed have been chosen by Christ. I think when we are so consumed in everything else, we forget that we are chosen by Christ. And that's such a huge thing that we can't forget, because as we saw with Samuel, with David, with these examples, when we lose sight of the fact that Christ chose us, we are so reliant on other people choosing us and their opinions of us that it drives us to do negative things. Even David the king. So I think that's something that we need to look at in ourselves to make sure that we are in the right level of saying, like, where am I? Do I feel unchosen by somebody? And if I feel unchosen by somebody, what do I do from that? When I feel rejected, when I feel left out, what do I do from that? When I was working at camp back in the day, I worked at a camp for about 4 years as a counselor. My first year there, I was new, and so I wasn't as experienced as the other counselors. But I remember seeing the first week of camp, the little kids following the counselors. There were about 12 boys counselors at camp that I worked at, and one of the boy counselors' name was Urijah. And you always knew Urijah's kids because they would always be listening and having fun and laughing. Like, you could spot a kid who was Urijah's from across the camp. You just knew because they had this thumbprint of saying, like, fun, joyous attitude, and they're like, oh, that's Urijah's kid. Even if Urijah wasn't with them, they had this thumbprint of saying, like, this is someone who is Urijah's, and they know that Urijah takes care of them and Urijah loves them because they act a certain way. And so I was like, man, how do I get to that level? And I came to the conclusion is that they acted a certain way because they knew who they were, whose they were. Like, they knew they were Urijah's kids, and so they acted like they were Urijah's kids. How often do we not act like Christ has chosen us to be a royal priesthood, a royal, holy people? Like, Christ chose us. I think oftentimes we focus so much on the fact that we have to choose Christ that we lose the idea that Christ chose us. Like, that was his goal. Like, he chose us. In actuality, we had very little to do with it. Christ chose us. And he chose us for a reason. And so through that time of working at camp, I realized that in order to get my kids to be recognized as Jaron's kids, as counselors Jaron's kids, you had to install them with certain things at camp. So it's not just about having fun. Urijah just didn't provide fun. Urijah provided boundaries for the kids to live in. So he made sure that they knew where they could have fun in. He provided a box that they could have fun in. They could jump around and laugh in line, but they were still walking in a line close to Urijah. They could be loud in certain settings, but they could be loud because that's the rules that Urijah set up. But in the settings that they needed to be quiet, they were quiet because Urijah had set up boundaries. They also knew that they could go to Urijah if they had an issue. And so if there was an issue with a kid, they knew that Urijah loved them and was safe enough to go to him so that they were relaxed when something bad happened because they knew Urijah was there. We serve a God who is all-powerful and all-protecting and all-knowledgeable. So when bad things happen, we shouldn't run to the worst possible solution because God, Christ has given us boundaries that we can play in. He has shown us that he loves us a number of ways. He died for our sins. He loves us. He cares for us. He's with us every step of the way. If we read in his Bible, there are numerous examples of Christ standing in the gap for people. Christ loves us. And so that means when we don't get chosen, when we get rejected, it shouldn't bother us because we are chosen by a royal priesthood. We are Christ, which means that it doesn't matter what is happening in the outside world. Christ has chosen us. So even when you get rejected from the job, you have to realize that Christ has enough foresight to know, well, I needed you to get rejected from this job because I have a purpose for you right here, right now. And maybe a new job will come along and maybe you won't know till heaven. But when you know you're chosen by Christ, you know you're acting on just a higher level of intelligence because you have Christ behind you. You're like a secret agent for Christ. You always have this mission behind you because when you're chosen by Christ, when you're a royal priesthood, you have that royal bloodline, which means you are recognized as someone who is Christ. You are recognized as someone who can go out and reach others because you are a royal priesthood. You are someone who has been chosen by the Almighty Father who created all of these things. You have been chosen by Christ. And that's important to remember because so often in this life particularly, we get rejected. I think about the first time that I asked a girl out and she said no, and oh my soul. The first time I was in high school, and we were in the band together, and she played the bass clarinet, and I played the saxophone. It was a band love story. And I was so sure that she was going to say yes. We had ate lunch together. We were ready together, and I was going to get ready to ask her in front of everybody to the high school banquet when I overheard somebody say, man, I mean, Jaron's cool, but he's just a friend. And my poor heart just sank. To where I was just like devastated. I don't know if anybody's ever gone through that where you've asked somebody out or where you've done it and you're just like, man, I am going to be alone forever. This is it. I am going to become a monk and I am going to give up my rights to do anything. And it's so devastating in that moment because, you know, you have been dreaming of this person and wanting to be with that person. But then when you get rejected, it's like all of the confidence is just so low. But I'm really happy that she said no, And I'm glad that I didn't ask her out because we became great friends to this day. And she helped me eventually find the girlfriend that I did have in high school that taught me a lot. But if I had gone out with her, it probably would have ruined that, and that would have never happened. That's a small thing to see that, like, God knew foresight on what he was doing. A little bit, because I believe that God cares about the little... I believe that God cares about the girls that I ask on dates. I believe he cares about the small things and leading us along the way. Because he chose me, he's so invested in my life. I'm an investment of his. Amen. Something that I was listening to, I heard this song at a wedding. It's called I Choose You, and it's by Ryan Darling. It's his artist, and it's this wedding song about it. But there are these lyrics that I want to read to you that just really spoke to me. It says that this is more than just a wedding. This is etched into eternity. With our union, we will move mountains. We will live on our knees. Because he chose us in 100 lifetimes. He chose us. And in 100 worlds, he'll find us. And I think about that marriage analogy that is so used in the Bible, how Christ chose the bride. He chose this woman, the church, to be his bride, and that he would continue to choose us in 100 times, 100 times over. We could not mess up. He would continue to choose us in 100 lifetimes because he loves us so much. I like to think of the story of Hosea. Yes, Hosea, and how he married the prostitute, and how he just had to keep on loving her. And I think about how Christ continues to choose us and continues to choose me every time that I mess up. Amen. He continues to say that Jaron is still mine. Jaron is still a royal priesthood. And Jaron is going to do miraculous things for me. And that leads me to my next point. Once we know that we're chosen by God, we can do miraculous things. I think of Esther. There always used to be this line in Esther that says, maybe you were chosen for such a time as this. And Esther was this girl who did not want to be queen. She had no desire. If you read the book of Esther, Esther is like, I'm good. I don't want to go. Can I just be a woman? And her cousin Mordecai said, well, what if God is calling you to here for such a time as this? See, when we realize we're chosen by God, we have the great privilege to being a part of his plan. His plan to save a group of people, his plan to save the world. We take part in that mission once we realize we're chosen. And we see how in Esther, because she knew who she was, she didn't compromise her beliefs. As soon as she knew what God had asked her to do, the story of Esther goes where Esther is taken in, the king chooses her, he's taken by her beauty and her smarts. And then from there on, she finds out that the king's best man, his right-hand man, is trying to kill her people. And Mordecai says to her, your people need your help. He says, don't think that you will not be forsaken. And I think what's beautiful about that is the first line that happens after Mordecai tells her that is she says, well, I'm going to pray and fast for 3 days. I'm going to fall on my knees for 3 days. Because I know who I am, and I know who I need to talk to, who's going to get me there. So she fell on her knees, and she decided that she was going to go to this king, who, if he didn't extend his scepter, she would die. Because back in those days, if Esther walked into the king's presence without an invitation, she would die. So Esther decided to risk her life because she knew who she was. She knew that she was Christ. She knew that she was God's person. She was owned by him. She was a part of this royal priesthood, so she had the confidence to step forward in faith and say, hey, I need to go and do that. And so that's what she did. She went out, and she went to the king, and the king said, oh, man, I'm just so happy to see you. Why didn't you come earlier? And he said, I'll give you anything up into the world's kingdom. And through a series of events, Esther saved her people from certain death. Because she knows who she was. And I think that when we operate in a way where we know whose we are, when we know that Christ chose us, we're able to do miraculous things. We're able to do wonderful things because Christ chose us. There are many stories like this in the Bible. from the disciples who were chosen, from Jonah, who was chosen, but at the end of it decided not to follow through, from Moses, from Abraham. These are all people who were chosen by Christ, and they operated as such. And because they operated as such doesn't mean that they weren't scared, or they weren't angry, or they weren't frustrated, but they always knew that they were a royal priesthood. They had a confidence, not an arrogance, in God's plan. They didn't have an arrogance in self. They had confidence in God. So I guess what I want you to take on this last week of January, as we end the first month of the year, and whatever disappointments may have come, whether you didn't do your New Year's resolutions — I don't do resolutions anymore because I'm just bad at them — whether it was that you have already messed up on something that you made a commitment to God to, whether it's that you messed up on something at work that has nothing to do with your relationship with God, whether it's something that you just did, remember that you have the confidence of being owned by Christ. Amen. That he chose you for this reason. And so whenever you think that you're not worthy or you're not good enough, Christ chose you. And in 100 situations, in 100 worlds, in 100 lifetimes, he would choose you all over again, because Christ is just that in love with you and that invested in you. Amen. And when we fall on our knees, understanding that we are chosen by Christ, when we boldly approach his throne, the things that can happen are beyond our wildest dreams. So remember that Christ chose you, because that's what I have to remember every day. That no matter what goes on, I am Christ and he is mine. Amen. Amen. Can we pray to close out, if you don't mind? Not the sermon, not the service. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for choosing us. Thank you for letting us know that you are ours, and that we are yours. Thank you for using us to do miraculous things through you. Keep us in the center of your will. In your name, amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the ability to just be with you right now in your presence. Thank you for the ability to be chosen by you. Lord, remind us every day who you are. Keep us in your center of will. And Lord, if you don't mind, could you warm us up a little bit today? In your name, amen.